The morning of the funeral, I went up to New York to see Meyer Wolfsheim. I couldn't seem to reach him any other way. The door that I pushed open on the advice of an elevator boy was marked the Swastika Holding Company, and at first there didn't seem to be anyone inside. But when I'd shouted hello several times in vain, an argument broke out behind a partition, and presently a lovely Jewess appeared at an interior door and scrutinized me with black, hostile eyes. "Nobody's in," she said. "Mr. Wolfsheim's gone to Chicago." The first part of this was obviously untrue, for someone had begun to whistle the rosary tunelessly inside. "Please say that Mr. Carraway wants to see him." "I can't get him back from Chicago, can I?" At this moment, a voice, unmistakably Wolfsheim's, called, "Stella!" from the other side of the door. "Leave your name on the desk," she said quickly. "I'll give it to him when he gets back." "But I know he's there." She took a step toward me and began to slide her hands indignantly up and down her hips. "You young men think you can force your way in here any time," she scolded. "We're getting sick and tired of it. When I say he's in Chicago, he's in Chicago." I mentioned Gatsby. "Oh." She looked at me over again. "Will you just... what was your name?" She vanished. In a moment, Maya Wolfsheim stood solemnly in the doorway, holding out both hands. He drew me into his office, remarking in a reverent voice that it was a sad time for all of us, and offered me a cigar. "My memory goes back to when first I met him," he said. "A young major just out of the army and covered over with medals he got in the war. He was so hard up, he had to keep on wearing his uniform because he couldn't buy some regular clothes. The first time I saw him was when he came into Weinbrenner's pool room at 43rd Street and asked for a job. He hadn't eaten anything for a couple of days. 'Come on, have some lunch with me,' I said. He ate more than $4 worth of food in half an hour." "Did you start him in business?" I inquired. "Start him? I made him." "Oh. I raised him up out of nothing, right out of the gutter. I saw right away he was a fine-appearing, gentlemanly young man, and when he told me he was in Oxford, I knew I could use him good. I got him to join up in the American Legion, and he used to stand high there. Right off, he did some work for a client of mine up to Albany. We were so thick like that in everything." He held up two bulbous fingers. "Always together." I wondered if this partnership had included the World Series transaction in 1919. "Now he's dead," I said after a moment. "You were his closest friend, so I know you'll want to come to his funeral this afternoon." "I'd like to come." "Well, come then." The hair in his nostrils quivered slightly, and as he shook his head, his eyes filled with tears. "I can't do it. I can't get mixed up in it," he said. "There's nothing to get mixed up in. It's all over now." "Now, when a man gets killed, I never like to get mixed up in it anyway. I keep out. When I was a young man, it was different. If a friend of mine died, no matter how, I stuck with him to the end. You may think that's sentimental, but I mean it, to the bitter end." I saw that for some reason of his own, he was determined not to come, so I stood up. "Are you a college man?" he inquired suddenly. For a moment, I thought he was going to suggest a connection, but he only nodded and shook my hand. "Let us learn to show our friendship for a man when he is alive, and not after he is dead," he suggested. "After that, my own rule is to let everything alone." When I left his office, the sky had turned dark, and I got back to West Egg in a drizzle. After changing my clothes, I went next door and found Mr. Gatz walking up and down excitedly in the hall. His pride in his son and in his son's possessions was continually increasing, and now he had something to show me. "Jimmy sent me this picture." He took out his wallet with trembling fingers. "Look there." It was a photograph of the house, cracked in the corners and dirty with many hands. He pointed out every detail to me eagerly. "Look there," and then sought admiration from my eyes. He had shown it so often that I think it was more real to him now than the house itself. "Jimmy sent it to me. I think it's a very pretty picture. It shows up well." "Yeah, very well. Had you seen him lately?" "He came out to see me 2 years ago and bought me the house I live in now. Of course, we was broke up when he run off from home, but I see now there was a reason for it. He knew he had a big future in front of him. And ever since he made a success, he was very generous with me." He seemed reluctant to put away the picture, held it for another minute lingeringly before my eyes. Then he returned the wallet and pulled from his pocket a ragged old copy of a book called Hopalong Cassidy.